Welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sorrent Petro with you. We turn our attention to soccer. Kansas City star Sam McDowell is with us on our Sprint guest line. Handles the Sporting Kansas City beat for the Kansas City Star. Sam, how are you?
Good. How are things there?
They're electric would be the word I would use.
Electric?
Yeah, absolutely okay. Electric. And I, as I understand it, congratulations are in order since the last time we spoke. You're now a wedded man. Is that correct?
I am. I appreciate that.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you. I know that's probably going to disappoint a lot of your listeners, but sure. Yeah, I'm off the market.
Sports talk radio station, a lot of ways to take that statement you just made there, but I'm just going to press on. Where'd you go? How was the wedding? Where was the wedding? Where'd you go for the honeymoon? Tell us. Give us all the details in 30 seconds or less.
It was in downtown Chicago was the wedding. My wife is a teacher, so she had to get back to school the week after, so we're putting off the honeymoon until next month.
What do you got going next month?
The Pacific Northwest.
Really?
Seattle, never been to that area. I'm going to cross the border into Canada. It's been so long since I left the country. I actually had to apply for a passport, so it's all going to be new territory for me.
Yeah, fantastic. Don't try to pack any of the weed across there, though. Be careful. That's international line there, so they frown upon that kind of stuff. So
okay,
good.
Thanks for the tip.
Important safety tip. We're always looking out for you, Sam. You can always count on that from us here at the program. Let's talk about the men's national team before we get to Sporting.
Sure.
And your reaction to the 1-1 draw down in Mexico. Draws are always disappointing when you score first, I think at least at some level. This is a big result for them, right?
Yeah, you know, it looks pretty incredible when you've got 11 guys out on the field who seem to know what the hell they're supposed to do out there. I think under the last regime with Jurgen Klinsmann, one of the biggest issues as much as the strategy that he implemented was how quickly he implemented it, and the players didn't really seem to know what exactly their assignments were. He came in with a really bold strategy, played three across the back line in Mexico, and as bold as it seemed, everyone seemed to know exactly what they were supposed to do. He actually said that the day after he got hired, when he first met with the players, he told them that's how they were going to play in Mexico. So that far back, he's already thinking ahead to that match, and it got him a huge point. And, you know, I mean, as much as starting 0-2 in World Cup qualifying seemed to put them in a hole, I never really thought they were in that much danger of not qualifying. But, man, they're in a really good spot now after getting 4 points last week.
Yeah, no, and I remember I've got the final four questions where you've said all along you thought that they would qualify. But we can agree if 0-2 is what it took to get Bruce Arena in and get rid of Jurgen Klinsmann, that seemed to be an effort worth the while, right?
That was actually a question that I posed before he got fired was, hey, if X, Y, or Z got Jurgen Klinsmann fired, would you root for it, even if it meant they had to lose a couple of games? In this case, that is exactly what it meant, that they had to lose two matches in pretty bad fashion. And I think for the next World Cup, yeah, they're definitely in a better spot because of what happened in those two matches.
We're talking to Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star, newlywed Sam McDowell here in the program. All right, so what hurdles do you see now for the national team here moving forward? Or do you think it's put the hammer down, to quote Mitch Holthus, and now steam into the World Cup? Is all the heavy lifting done?
I think they'll be fine getting into the World Cup, yeah, but – you know, what's the goal really for the Americans when you talk about American soccer? I mean, is the goal just to qualify for the World Cup? I don't think it is anymore. You know, 20 years ago, that was huge getting to the World Cup. But these days, I think you've got a fan base that's eager for more to make a run, to get past the group stage and win a couple of matches and get, you know, to a spot where things might get interesting. And at that point, I think you've got to start taking some of these matches to look at some new players, to see exactly what's going to be your best lineup. You know, right now he's relying a lot of, lot of veterans, obviously Christian Pulisic notwithstanding, but a lot of guys that he feels like he can trust. But you still got over a year now to the World Cup, and I think you need to take this time to figure out what's going to be my best lineup in Russia. And the Gold Cup is this summer. It's next month. You're going to see some guys I think he could try out. I think maybe even Sporting Kansas City's Dom Dwyer could be one of them.
Yeah. I'll get to Dom in a second. Pulisic, did you like him up there where he plays for his German team up on the front line, or is he better on this team with the U.S. team being back in the midfielder role that he's been serving before this last game?
Boy, it'd be certainly hard to argue with the role he's playing with the national team, right? I mean, I think there was a string of, before this Mexico game, of 8 or 9 goals in a row that he had either assisted on or scored himself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, man, is he an impact player as a teenager?
I kind of looked at it, and you know, I know Rob was talking about how they wanted to get wide, and he and I were chatting, and they wanted to get wide and attack Mexico from on the outside, so that would get him to where hopefully he'd have the ball more. But look, rule of thumb, you're going to touch the ball more in the midfield. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, I'm with you. Use the Gold Cup to try to figure out the right lineup, but I'm still a little puzzled with him moving out there on the wing as opposed to being in the middle where he can do a little bit more. But look, I'm not going to tell you I'm an expert soccer strategist either. You mentioned Dom Dwyer. Do you think he's got a real shot? He's on that 40-man Gold Cup roster, as are Zusi and Beisler, who are with the team. Do you think he's got a real shot to make it, or is it just kind of a let's make sure we turn over every stone and he's really a big long shot?
I think he's got a real shot to make this Gold Cup roster. I don't think he, you know, is maybe a favorite to continue on and make, you know, a World Cup roster. But Bruce Arena and MLS has always spoken very highly of Dom Dwyer. There were a couple times, and I think it was 2 years ago when he came to Children's Mercy Park, and in his postgame press conference, he sort of out of nowhere. The question wasn't even about Dom, and he said, hey, Dom makes that team go. But the way he, you know, the energy he brings and the tenaciousness he has up top, that's what makes that team go. And I think that he's always thought highly of this guy. So I think he'll be part of the Gold Cup.
All right, we're talking to Sam McDowell here in the program. What did you think of the 1-1 draw with Montreal? Again, when you score first, it always sucks to end up with a draw, particularly against a team that is inferior to you. And this is one that I can't really say. You know, a lot of times you might get a 1-1 draw and the opposition, you know, had 10 great scoring chances and you had 2 and converted on 1. This one, there was about as much post hitting both directions, you know, at times in this. But I think also at times Sporting looked like definitively the better team. How disappointing is it to make a mistake at the end of the game and end up with a 1-1 draw?
Yeah, when you talk about the Americans' 1-1 draw against Mexico versus Sporting Kansas City's 1-1 draw over the weekend, it's the two completely different sides of the coin. I thought that Sporting Kansas City looked very lackadaisical in the second half against Montreal. And in the past few home matches, they've gotten that 1-0 lead before halftime. Then they just come out and blitz the opponent and win, you know, 3-0. I think that they sort of assumed that's the way the match was going to go, and there was just nobody to really drive it that way. And, you know, I know the turnover late in the match in the 82nd minute led to Montreal's goal. There were 3 or 4 other similar dangerous, careless plays that could have led to that same result. So I thought that was a very disappointing match. You know, it's going to happen. They're still 6-0-2 at home. But that those are 2 points you could come back late in the season and wish you had.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was surprised they didn't have a few more scoring chances along the way as well. But after the match, Peter Vermees gets a little frustrated with the media, with the questions that were being asked. And, you know, said, you guys act like, you know, we're in last place. You know, we're you know, and then he flat out challenged. Now, were you there? Were you back yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who was he challenging? Well, you don't need to name names. Did he challenge you? Let me just ask you. Were you one of the ones he challenged as, why do you think teams do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
Yeah. Were you the one that answered? I couldn't tell if that was you or not.
No, I told him actually yesterday. I said, "Hey, that's a lose-lose situation for me if I answer that question." So actually, when he turned to me, I think my response is, "I'm not touching that one."
What do you make of him getting testy?
I like it. One of the things I like about Peter Vermes is he's not the cliche guy. And, you know, as you walk down to the press conference, there's some writers that are sort of like, oh, man, this could be a rough one. You know, they're going to be disappointed with this. And I'm always, I guess, for a lack of a better word, kind of giddy when things don't go right for the team, because I think you get the best out of him when things don't go right. And in this sense, you know, I asked a couple of pretty negative questions. You know, I just explained to you how I thought they played in the second half, and I asked questions that implied that's how I thought that they played. And he said, you know, hey, these, you know, as much as you guys want to ask these negative questions, we're a pretty good team right now. They are in first place in the Western Conference, so he's right about that. But, you know, none of my questions insinuated it's a season-long problem or anything like that, and he knows that. He's just trying to make a point that you know, it's not time to panic.
Yeah, and is he the kind of guy that, look, I mean, you know, I have great respect for him, as do you, obviously. He seems to get to know when his team needs a hug and when they need a kick in the ass. And a lot of times when they need the kick is when things are going okay, right? They're not going bad, but it's okay. And when they need a hug is when somebody makes a terrible mistake, which happened in this game. And that's where he knew he wasn't going to, you know, if he didn't, it's almost like a calculated move. I'm going to take away the spotlight away from the mistake, and I'm going to put it on myself. Is that, you think that's, you know, what he was doing?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, when you look at what happened there to give up that goal, Sonny Mustafar made a really bad decision to even pass the ball backwards. And then beyond the decision, it was a really bad pass. And how could you not highlight that play when you look back at the game? It cost them 2 points. And I think that you're exactly right in the sense that he knows that game came down to that one play. Now, all of a sudden, you know, we're talking about what you and I are discussing right now, Peter Vermes in the postgame instead.
Exactly, which is exactly where he wants it. How did the team react to the game? How are they?
They were more disappointed in their performance. You know, they when I asked the similar questions to them that I did to Peter, you know, Ike Opara even said, you know, I said something along the lines to him, because all the stats still favored Sporting Kansas City in the match when you looked at possession and shots on goal. And I said to him, hey, did you feel like you kind of deserved 3 points and you gave up two? And Ike Opara said, no, I didn't feel like we deserved 3 points with the way we played in that second half. We'd come in at halftime and talked about things we needed to correct and didn't do it. So the players were much more disappointed in their play, which is, you know, is probably a good sign when you dominate some of the statistical categories and you still feel like you played like crap.
Beisler and Zusi not there. What were your thoughts on how the back line played?
I thought they missed those guys. Just the consistency. You know, Ike Opara is a guy who's getting a lot of credit for potential. Some people are even talking about him as a MLS Defender of the Year candidate. And it's kind of funny, the captain of the team, the guy who's been over with the national team, who's played in a World Cup, the local guy, Matt Beisler, is really flying under the radar this year. And with all those attributes I just mentioned, it's like, well, how does a guy like that fly under the radar? But Matt's really having a very consistent season, which is the word we didn't use to describe his play last year.
No, and there were some mistakes and turnovers and that kind of thing, and we haven't seen that from this game. I agree, and I thought the defense was lacking. But you know, I mean, they can't use that as an excuse because Montreal was missing a ton of players too.
Exactly.
But there was a concentration in one spot for Sporting that I think did affect them. What do you think of the game against Minnesota, the Open Cup game on Wednesday? What do we expect to see lineup wise?
Well, that's exactly what actually I was just going to say is I'm having a really tough time getting a feel for exactly the guys he's going to put out there tomorrow night. You know, there's the balance between there's definitely some guys who need some rest, who need some time off. You know, I've mentioned Ike Opara a couple times already in this segment. I think he really needs a break. He's a guy who hasn't played in a full season, you know, really throughout his whole career. And you don't want to wear him into the ground before the All-Star break even gets here. I think a guy like Seth Sinova could probably use a game off. Roger Espinosa's been dealing with some back spasms. I think he could use a day off. I think Dom Dwyer could even use a day off. But at the same time, how many guys do you really want to give the day off and still have this mindset that, hey, we want to win every competition we're in, that you know, the mantra they use consistently. So I'm really interested to see what the lineup's going to be tomorrow night.
And it is a bit of a spot because he's got to turn around and go to San Jose. I mean, it's not just a quickie.
Yeah, it's a long trip, exactly.
It's a long trip, and to me, San Jose and L.A., that's what they've got the next 2 weeks, two trips to the West Coast. Those are scary teams right now. I mean, they may look very differently if they grab 3 points. You know, L.A.'s got another game before they play Sporting, but if they each would beat Sporting, they're going to look different. But right now, they're one of those fringe teams as far as if the playoffs were today. Well, San Jose's right there tied for the final spot, and L.A.'s 1 point back. How good are those two teams, and how much, even though they do like to add trophies and they want to win that Open Cup, how much do they need to be ready for what is, I think, kind of a sneaky, scary couple of back-to-back trips to the West Coast?
Yeah, you're right. And I'm going to add another wrinkle to that. Sporting Kansas City has not played that well on the road recently. The past couple of trips on the road, they haven't scored. They've looked lost at times. And in a couple of those matches, they had to use some backups because it was the third match in 8 days and yada, yada, yada. But they haven't played well on the road. So you look at the schedule that you just mentioned, you got two upcoming road matches, and it's all the way on the West Coast, their longest road trips that they take. These are important matches. You know, even if you're in first place, which they are right now, you know, fourth place is only three points behind them. That's one victory. You can't afford, I think, to go without a point over the next two matches. You've got to play better on the road.
Yeah, and Dallas is just sitting there looming with like you said, the games in hand.
Exactly.
I think you've got to really be looking over your shoulder when you're 3 points up on a team, but they've got two games in hand. Plus Portland and Houston each have a game in hand as well. So, you know, if everybody wins the games that they've got in hand, which rarely ever happens, Sporting would actually be, what, tied for third place? So that looks a little bit different. I mean, there needs to be – I know they're in first – but there needs to be a little bit more urgency. And those 2 points that they gave away against Montreal are going to loom large. You'd feel a lot better if you were up 4 points on Portland right now and up 5 points on Dallas and Houston than where they sit right now, just up 2 and 3 points.
Yeah, when you look at the standings, just the way they finish every year, you can always just pick like two or even one match that said, hey, if this had gone differently, if this play had gone differently, this team would have been in third place instead of fourth, or this team would have been in fourth place instead of fifth. And the way the MLS playoffs are structured with the top two teams getting byes and then the third and fourth team getting home matches in that first round, every single place is so important. It's like the way the NFL works, where every single, you know, move up the rung, up the ladder is huge. So you're exactly right. I think they're going to be looking at these 2 points that they gave up the weekend when you look at the end of the year as a pretty big lost opportunity.
I will say this, when they go to L.A., L.A. is one of only two teams that has a losing record at home. And they're 1-3-2 at home. The other one's D.C., who's last. In fact, not quite the lowest point total, but they're last in the East, 2-4-2. Everybody else has at least a .500 record. In fact, there's only one .500 record. Real Salt Lake is 3-3-1 at home. Everybody else is above the midpoint. As far as their home record goes, why is that? Yeah, I'll give the MLS a conspiracy theory. They want home crowds to be excited, so the refs give every advantage to the home team. How do you like that one?
Well, I mean, conspiracy theory is probably the right phrase for it.
Yeah.
what gets me about that is MLS teams are sort of forced to go for it at home. They're forced to try and get 3 points because what you just mentioned, they want big crowds at home as well, the teams do, and they don't want to put on this product of sitting back and, you know, a boring product, basically. But, you know, when you look at the results, like you just mentioned, if that strategy works and you have a better record implementing that strategy, why not do it on the road? With Sporting, that's why I think they should be a good road team, because teams come in here, and I mean, Montreal played five defenders over the weekend, five. You know, they had no interest at all in trying to score in the first half until Sporting took the lead, and then they said, oh, well, we've got to go to plan B now.
Yeah.
But when teams don't do that at home, I feel like Sporting should be able to exploit that, and they should be a better team on the road.
Yeah, and it was. I mean, an over-the-top, basically, pass. I mean, I think you wrote it up as like a post-play, I think you said. And you're right. I mean, that's what it was, a long pass over the top that Gerso's able to corral and fire across. And I love the bit about he never even looked up. I mean, he was just firing where it was because it looked like it was a perfect strike. Like, oh, I know right where he is. I'm going to go right
yeah.
for the far post. And it worked out perfectly if he's, you know, what he said is true. And he didn't even really look. Hey, nice work. But that was the difference between, you know, what could end up being, I mean, the game would have been played differently. Montreal wouldn't have been attacking as much had it been a 0-0. So I don't think you can say, well, if they don't get that goal, they lose 1-0. Like it would have been a 0-0 draw if they don't get that goal.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. All right, we're talking to Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star here on our Sprint guest line. By the way, we'll take callers 8 and 10 right now. We've got two pairs of tickets to tonight's Open Cup game against Minnesota. Callers 8 and 10 at 913-3810-810. Are going to go and enjoy a little soccer tonight, and we'll see how Sporting or tomorrow. I'm sorry. Tonight is Tuesday. Tomorrow would be Wednesday when the game is played. So important.
I don't know if
there.
I'm allowed to interrupt a promotion, but I was going to chime in there.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I got Rob screaming in my ear. Tomorrow. It's tomorrow, dumbass. Yeah, you know, so yeah, I caught that at the very end. All right, time. For our Final Four, it's of course brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Their Bass Pro Shop instant tickets are where you can win $25,000 instantly. Go to kslottery.com for details. Tell me, Sam, first of all, who goes further in the World Cup, the U.S. or Mexico?
Mexico.
Okay. See, I thought it was a pretty even game, though.
I thought that, as much as the credit went to the Americans for getting that result, and it should have, I really did not like what I saw from Mexico, but I think that they've played really well in the qualifying. If you don't just look at that as a one-off, basically.
All right, I'll take that. Tell me, you get a chance to move over and spot the Royals here and there. Who's the best Kansas City professional head coach/manager? Vermees, Yost, Reed.
Who? When you just look at the regular season, I think what Andy Reid does is fantastic. But without that championship, I think I'd probably go with Peter.
Okay, yeah, that was the consensus. We did this as one of our there can be only one, and the consensus was Peter Vermees as well. All right, who wins a fight if it gets a little testier next time, you or Peter Vermees?
Like the physical? I could outwit him, but yeah, physical. Physical. I think I'm in for a battle on that.
Okay, so you're gonna. I mean, who gets the win? Who wins the fight?
Does Peter Vermees not look like a guy who's been in a fight before? I mean, that the experience factor is going to cost me that.
Okay, so Vermees.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put you down for Vermees. Okay. More importantly, who wins a fight? You or your new wife?
She wins all the arguments.
All the arguments. There you go. Good answer. Good answer.
I thought that you were married. I thought you should have the answers to those already.
Well, I do. Now, hopefully you're smarter than me.
You're just seeing if I've already picked up on that.
Yes. I'm wanting to know if you picked up on it. And you know, you're clearly much smarter than me. It took years for me to figure that out. But I'm now a beaten down man. So, yeah, well done.
Fair enough.
I'm proud of you. Sam, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star joins us talking some Sporting Kansas City soccer. And, of course, whenever we talk Sporting Kansas City soccer, it's brought to you by our friends at Corona. That's right, Corona Extra, proud partner of Sporting Kansas City they are. You can get your Corona and Corona Light at Children's Mercy Park. Good friends, good times, good cerveza. Remember, all summer long, make sure you relax responsibly. Corona wants to make sure you do. Our Sporting Kansas City coverage brought to you by Corona.